All right, let's go back to Exodus 17. And we see down in verse 15, it says, Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. The Lord my banner. A banner is a flag. It's an ensign. Just like we fly a flag, it's an ensign. It's a banner. And in these days that Moses lived, the flag had a purpose. It had an important purpose, more so than in our day. It was exalted, raised up when soldiers were on a battlefield. It was raised up to strengthen the soldiers. They could look to that flag and remember who they're fighting for, and it was strength for the soldiers. It was exalted so the soldiers could keep their bearings. Wherever that flag was, that helped them understand, remember where they were on the battlefield, because on a battlefield they would get all turned around and it would be hard to keep their bearings, and they could just look to that flag and know right where they were. And it was exalted so the soldiers could rally to it. You know, the smoke and the everything would be on the battlefield, and they would get scattered out in different places, and they could look to that flag and they would know where to come to, where to rally to, and to gather together under that flag. And then it was exalted to declare victory. When the victory was won, that flag was raised and all the people knew, we've conquered them. They take down the enemy's flag, you know, and put up their flag. Well, Christ Jesus is the believer's banner. He's our banner. He's our ensign. Listen to this from Isaiah 11:10. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse. That's Christ. He came through the family tree of Jesse. He is actually the root of that tree. He's the beginning of that tree, but he came through Jesse and David and on down the line. There'll be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. He'll stand, he'll be exalted for a banner, for a flag, an ensign of the people. To it, to that banner, shall the Gentiles seek. All God's elect scattered into the four corners will all be coming and rallying to that flag, to that banner. And his rest shall be glorious. Our banner's a person, it's Christ. His rest shall be glorious. God has exalted Christ, our banner, on the cross. He's exalted him there on the cross where he triumphed over all the enemies of his people, established the law, and redeemed us from all our sins, from the curse of the law. And he's exalted him to his right hand, declaring Christ is victorious. And our banner's been exalted in our hearts so that he has the rule over us. And this is done so that as we proclaim this truth, God's elect that are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth will be gathered together, hearing, seeing this flag and hearing this banner proclaimed and seeing it exalted, they gather to this flag, to this banner. We must exalt our banner in the preaching of the gospel. Here's why. Psalm 60, verse 4, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee. He's given Christ, our banner, to them that fear Him, that it may be displayed because of the truth. That's why. We must preach Christ because of the truth. Because of the truth. That Thy beloved may be delivered. That Thy beloved might be delivered. Save with Thy right hand and hear me. We have to preach Christ, our banner. We have to exalt Him in the gospel we preach, so that God's delivering His people through that message. We must exalt our banner in prayer before the Father. When we come before the Father, we're not just tacking on an expression when we say, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't have to be at the end. That can be at the beginning. That's the heart of our prayer. We're coming in Christ. And we come in Christ. He must be exalted before the Father. Psalm 20, verse 5 says, We will rejoice in Thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. the Lord, fulfill all thy petitions. And we're making our petitions to God. We pray in the name of our God. We set up our banner before our Father, asking God to fulfill all our petitions for Christ's sake. And we come to the Father in the name of Christ, our banner, only when He exalts Christ in our hearts. That's when we're strengthened. When Christ is, this banner is raised in our hearts, then the verse right after that, after it says we lift up our banners and we, Lord, fulfill our petitions, save your people, deliver your people. Once He's done that, the next verse says, now I know that the Lord saveth His anointed. He'll hear Him. He will hear Him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. So when we're going to see Moses here, and he's going to go up on top of this hill, and he's going to hold up the rod of God, hold it up with both his hands, it represents Christ our banner, exalted, raised up in all these ways that we talked about here. Through the gospel, in prayer, in our hearts, the Christ exalted, and it's for these purposes. For these purposes. Now, in the first seven verses of Exodus 17, the children of Israel drank from the rock that was smitten. They drank the water that flowed from that rock that was smitten. That rock pictures Christ our Lord, who was smitten in place of His people and satisfied justice. And Christ said, and he that cometh to me and believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That water said, he spoke of the Holy Spirit that He gives. And so, this rock, they drink of it, and that's a picture of Christ redeemed, being born again, and the Spirit of God coming in and creating a new man within them. That's what it pictured. And look at our text, how it begins, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. In the new birth, God doesn't change our old man. He doesn't change our flesh. He doesn't do anything to the sinful part of us. God imparts an entirely new spirit, a new man. A new man. In every true believer, there are two men. Two men. There's an old sinful man, and there's a new man who is sinless. There is an old man born of the flesh and natural generation, so it bears the image of Adam. And there is the new man, born of Christ in Holy Spirit regeneration, so that new man bears the image of Christ. Scripture says the old man, which after Adam is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of Christ that created him. See, this new spirit's created. It's not. It wasn't with us before. It's created by Christ, and it's created in the image of Christ. Therefore, in each of God's saints, there's an old man, the flesh. There's Amalek. And there's also a new man, the new spirit, the new man. And that's the children of Israel. And they're in a constant warfare. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So we are in a war, aren't we? That's why we talk about a banner here. We're in a war. We're in a warfare. But in our text, God teaches His saints that the only way we win this warfare between our old man and our new man, the same with all our enemies, the way we win this warfare is by our Lord Jesus Christ. Our banner, by Him being exalted. By Him being exalted. Remember Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And who did he say would deliver him? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who's going to deliver us. I've titled this Jehovah Nissi. Now first of all, we see here that it's only after the sinners born of the Holy Spirit that we enter into this warfare. Our text begins in verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. When they were in Egyptian bondage, they were not attacked. They were not attacked when they were in Egyptian bondage. when they were at the Red Sea, God didn't allow them to fight. God did all the fighting. They didn't fight. Now that the Holy Spirit has been given in type and picture, now their warfare begins. You see, when you're dead in sin, when we were spiritually dead in sin and trespasses in sin, we didn't have any problem with sin. We didn't even have any problem with sin. We didn't know how exceedingly sinful our sin is before God. We had no idea. And a man can become religious. A man can become a teacher of religion. A man can come under legal conviction so that he becomes troubled about something he's done or didn't do. But it's only after we're born of God, only after we're born of the Spirit of God and a new man is created in us, we've been made partakers of the divine nature, Christ is formed in us, it's only then that we hear the law say, our own flesh is wicked. And it only produces wickedness. It's only then that we hear this and we believe God. You brethren here that are newly born of God, don't be discouraged thinking some strange things happen to you. Don't be discouraged thinking, well, I thought I wasn't going to have this problem. No, you didn't have this problem before. You didn't have this problem before. The reason, the difference now is God's given you the Holy Spirit and given you spiritual discernment to see how wicked your sin is. How to see what your flesh is. God's made you to hate what He hates. And that's why there's a problem. True growth in grace. True growth. Growing in grace. True growth is to behold our flesh sinful more and more and more. We see it as more wretched and more ruined as the light shines brighter and brighter and brighter, the light of Christ. And so we decrease and Christ increases in our heart and in our need. We decrease and Christ increases. Now, secondly, we see here that it's the flesh that first attacks. It's the flesh that first attacks and not the other way around. Look here in verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel. The Amalekites were descendants of Esau. They were descendants of Esau. That was Jacob's, or Israel, Jacob and Israel, the same person, you know. That was Jacob, Israel's twin brother, Esau. That's who God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And so God left Esau to himself. And Esau, being a sinner, did exactly what sinners will do. He hated God. He sold his birthright. And that's a picture of our flesh. Our flesh, that's our flesh. Now that was the Amalekites' great-grandfather, Esau. And then you have here, as purpose from eternity, God poured out blessings upon Jacob. And God blessed Jacob and he changed his name to Israel. As a prince, thou hast had power and hast prevailed with God. Christ was that power that made him prevail. Remember? And he's our power that makes us prevail. That's our new man. That's a picture of our new man. So you got the children of Israel here, you got the Amalekites here. You got the old and the new right here. And so now in this desert where there's water, no water, the Amalekites hear that God's provided Israel with a rock from which a river of water's flowing. And so naturally they say, we're going to go and take that. We want that. We're going to take it. In other words, the Amalekites attacked Israel because God blessed Israel. Why was the first murder committed? Why was the first murder committed? Scripture says, because Cain's works were evil and his brother's were righteous. That's why the devil hates Christ. That's why our sinful flesh lusts against our new man. That's why worldly men persecute those born of God. And Scripture shows us this again and again. Cain attacked Abel. Ishmael attacked Isaac. And spiritually dead sinners attacked Christ. And the Scripture says, as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is right now. We delight in the law of God after the inward man. If in our inward man, if every believer here had our way, we would be constantly under the Word of God, hearing Christ exalted, having communion with God uninterrupted. We would be free from all our sin. We'd have constant communion with God and with our brethren at His feet, and it never be interrupted. And we would have peace, brethren. But our sinful flesh won't allow it. Our sinful flesh will not eat. Our sinful flesh is constantly trying to wage war and stop us from having that peace and that uninterrupted communion. We learn another valuable lesson here by looking at what condition the children of Israel were in when the Amalekites attacked them. Over in Deuteronomy 25, in verse 17, the Lord said, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way." And then in verse 18, He says, "He met thee by the way and smote the hindmost part of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God." Amalek attacked by surprise. He was the first one to ever attack the children of Israel when they came out of bondage. And our flesh is going to be your first enemy you're going to have to do battle with when God gives you a new heart. And he's going to be your constant enemy. But notice that Amalek attacked them where they were weakest. That's where he attacked them and when he attacked them. When are we weak spiritually? When are we weak spiritually? When we see ourselves as being strong. That's when we're weak. That's when we're feeble. That's when we're straggling behind, when we see ourselves as being strong. And what causes it? When we're not under the preaching of the gospel? Whenever we're not in prayer to God, asking God, continually casting all upon God to save us from us? Whenever we're not in fellowship with our brethren? When we're not loving our brethren as we ought? When we're in a quarrel with our brethren? Be it in the church or in the home, wherever. That's, you know, in at the beginning of Exodus 17, they were murmuring against Moses. There was a big old quarrel going on in the assembly. And so when they take off now, after they've drank of the rock, they take off, and there's a bunch straggling behind that are weak and feeble and faint and weary. And Amalek took advantage of that. He attacked them. He attacked them. So, brethren, don't forget now. Don't forget this. Moses and Joshua and Aaron and Hur and the men of Israel, they literally, really, actively engaged in this fight. They did. They actively engaged in it. Some engaged in it by being in the forefront of the battle. Some, Moses was praying. They all were engaged in this battle. But they were actively engaged in it. Now, God alone is going to get the glory. There's no doubt about that. But God does command His saints to fight against our enemies, especially our flesh. He does. God said, "Remember what Amalek did to you. Don't forget it." And God tells us, "Remember, you have an old man of sin with you always. Don't forget what he's done to you." God said, "When I've given you rest from all your enemies, then you are to utterly blot out Amalek from under the face of the earth." Blot them all out. Remember Saul, King Saul? That's who God told him to go kill. He told him to go kill all of them. Every one of them. Youngest to oldest. Don't leave a one of them. That was Amalek. And Saul, in his wisdom, thought it'd be better to leave one of them. Bring them back. Bring the strongest back and bring the strongest calf back and all of that. And you know who ended up killing Saul? An Amalekite. God said, "Wipe them out." He didn't. He left them there. God's telling you and me, mortify the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Don't try to save anything about him. Don't try to. There's some rebellion and you know it's rebellion. Don't try to save that. Don't try to spare that. That'll be the one that kills us. That'll be the Amalekite that kills you. God says, actively fight against them. Mortify the flesh. How do you do that? Moses is on that hill lifting up his hands toward heaven, praying for God our Father to make them win the battle in the name of Christ our Lord. That's what he's doing. Paul said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amalek means warlike. The Apostle Peter said, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. They war like Amalek against the soul. So he said, abstain from them. That's an active thing, isn't it? To do, abstain from them. Paul told the Colossians to mortify the flesh. Now let me tell you how all this is done. Paul said mortify the flesh in Colossians 3. And before he told them mortify the flesh, he told them how it's done. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's what we see in Moses. He said, I'm going to the top of the mountain and I'm praying to God. I'm setting my affection on Him above, asking His deliverance. And Paul tells us, live constantly that way. Christ is our strength, so actively flee to Him. Paul said, cast all your care on Christ, for He cares for you. He said, and be diligent in this, and be sober. The devil is a real foe. He's a real fiend. And he said, be sober, be diligent, and resist him steadfast in the faith. That is, steadfast, casting our care on Christ, looking to Christ, following Christ, studying Christ, staying on Christ. That's how we're going to mortify this flesh and defeat this enemy. But we see here, we're not going to be the one that's going to get the glory for defeating the enemy. It's the Lord our banner, Christ Jesus, who's going to deliver us. Exodus 17, verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. And so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now, you know Moses typifies in many places in Scripture, Moses typifies the law. And Joshua is the same name as Jesus, Savior. And so when I hear the law, when I hear Moses, the law, when I hear Moses speak to Joshua, I hear the law speak to Christ. And the law says, go fight for your redeemed, because my justice, which you satisfied, demands that none be lost. Go fight for them. Now go fight for them. Justice is satisfied. They must be saved. None shall be lost. And Joshua led the men of Israel into battle. He led them into that battle. And he was there in that battle with them the whole time. Christ Jesus the Lord is the captain of our salvation. He's the captain of our warfare. And He leads His people. He leads the charge. And He's in the midst of His people all the time. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, lo, I'm there. I'm with you all the time. His name is Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. And He's there with His people all the time. On the battlefield. Right in our midst. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top. And as long as Moses held up the rod of God, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses, and that rod represents the banner. It's the preaching of the gospel of Christ by His preacher, whereby Christ our prophet exalts the Lord our banner Himself. It's the preaching of the word through which Christ our prophet, pictured in Moses here, Christ our prophet is exalting the rod. He's exalting the banner. Christ is exalting Himself in the hearts of His people in His gospel, bringing us to exalt Him in our petitions to God. This is God. This is the work of the Lord through the gospel. Brethren, be always under the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Be always under the preaching of the gospel, asking God to bless it for Christ's sake. Always be under the gospel and in prayer to God, asking God to bless this word to our hearts. As long as Christ is exalted in these ways, as long as He's exalted in the gospel, as long as He's exalted in our hearts, as long as He's exalted in our petitions before God, Christ is the one who makes us prevail. He's our strength, the strength of our heart. But when something else has our affection, if the gospel's not being preached clearly, Christ is not being preached, and we're being pointed to something else rather than Christ, then the lust of our flesh will prevail. And in our hearts, instead of a new man prevailing, the old man will prevail. And when we go to God, we won't go to God in prayer. We'll be weary in prayer. We won't even pray to Him at all, much less in the name of our Lord Jesus. And it's the flesh. Amalek has attacked. Amalek's prevailed when that happens. We must always keep our affection on the Lord, our banner, in the glory of Christ's person, beholding Him. He's the God-man. He's the mediator. He's one with God and one with His people, and He brings us both together in Him. That's what we need to be constantly remembering. He's made reconciliation by His blood, and He's brought us together in peace with God. We need to be constantly hearing the efficacy of His atonement. When He had by Himself purged our sin, He sat down at the right hand of God. The work's finished. It's done. He's purged the sin of His people. He's established the law for His people. The work's finished. We need to constantly hear the sufficiency of His righteousness. What did He do when He purged us of our sins and sat down at the right hand of God? He obtained our eternal redemption. He made us accepted in Him. That our acceptance with God's not in question. There's nothing else to be done to make His people accepted. Christ did it by the sufficiency of His atonement. We need to hear the power of His saving grace. That's what I'm preaching to you today. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation that's already finished, ready to be revealed. The power of God is how we're going to be saved. We can't persevere any other way than God preserving us and Christ being our strength and Him keeping us through faith looking to Him. You picture those soldiers on that battlefield, Israel down there below fighting, and they're fighting, and they could look up and they could see the rod of God. They could see their banner flying high on the hillside. And they kept fighting. They kept fighting. They were strong to fight. They knew their position and they were prevailing. But when they'd look up there and they didn't see that banner, bam, they get hit. They get blindsided, surprised by Amalek. And that's you and me, brethren, in this fight of faith. It's a real fight. And if we're not beholding Christ, we're not going to prevail. He's not exalted. But look at this now. Christ keeps Himself exalted in the preacher's gospel. In His preacher's gospel, He's going to keep Himself exalted. He's going to keep Himself exalted in the hearts of His people. And He's going to keep us exalted in our petitions to God. Look here, verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Moses' hands grew heavy. God's commanded us to stay on Christ. God's commanded us to exalt this banner, to exalt this flag. You ever tried to hold a flag? A real, literal flag? It gets hard to hold it. And you get weary of holding it. And you can't, it's like your arms become like weights and you can't hold it. It's just like that, trying to preach this gospel. It's the same way, trying to exalt Christ in the gospel. It's like that when we're trying to mortify our flesh and treat this sinful flesh like what it is, it's dead. We don't even have the strength to do it. We grow weary. I grow weary. I've tried not to ever say anything to you about the enemy that, and it's been going on since before I came here. And every day that I've been here, it's been going on. And I haven't said anything to you about it. But you get weary sometimes and you end up speaking a word. and you're weary. But you need Aaron and you need her to take your side and to one on one side and one on the other to set you on a rock. Set you on Christ, the rock. Point you to Christ. Remind you of Christ. Strengthen you by Christ. I'm so thankful for Aaron and her. I'm thankful for brethren who hold up these weary hands and set me on Christ. We need brethren to set us on Him. But it's Christ, our strength through the Holy Spirit, that does it. Aaron here typifies Christ because Aaron's going to be a high priest. He's going to be the priesthood. And his priesthood is going to be in him. And he's a picture of Christ, our high priest. And Christ, our high priest, is the one who ministers for His people before God, making intercession for us in the presence of God. And He's the high priest who comes out of the holiest of holies and on this side comforts us and succors us and strengthens us in our heart. He may use a brother to come and stay up the hands that are weak, but it's going to be Christ through that word that's going to speak to the brother that's going to strengthen us. And her here means light and purity. He's an emblem of the Holy Spirit of Christ. One on the one side, the other on the other side, it said. So you get this picture. Here you have Moses praying to God. We try to pray. We become weary in prayer. We can't even pray. On this side of heaven, Scripture says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And on the other side, in heaven, Revelation 8:3, John saw another angel come, Christ our intercessor. And he stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all his saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. We pray in our weakness. The Spirit helps us to pray. The Spirit intercedes for us with God. And Christ our Lord enters in and He, by His blood, by His the sweet incense of His presence, He perfumes our prayer and makes it pure and holy and acceptable, and He brings it to God out of His own hand to God. And God receives it. In doing so, Christ keeps us on Christ the rock. He keeps us settled on Christ the rock. He strengthens us, and He keeps us on Christ the rock. It's the same way with the preaching of the gospel. Christ, our high priest, He's our prophet too. And He's preaching and He's high priestly ministering to us at the same time in our hearts. And He does it through the Spirit. One on one side, one on the other. Constantly bearing up the preacher to preach the gospel and bearing up the people to hear the gospel. And He keeps us on Christ the rock. Verse 12 says, His hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. He strengthens our inner man. His hands were steady to the going down of the sun. He set it on the rock. He keeps our hands steady. That's in our inner man. And then Christ overthrows our flesh. Verse 13, and Joshua discomfited. He overthrew Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, with the gospel. That's our old man. He does these two things, brethren. He defeats our flesh. He doesn't defeat it. He overthrows it. And he does it as He strengthens the inner man, seating us on Christ the rock and strengthen us inwardly. Why didn't He defeat the old man? Why didn't He just defeat our flesh and take us out of this sinful flesh as we go through this world? I'll give you four reasons. Number one, He does it so that we never forget that the only thing that distinguishes us from any other people in this world is the distinguishing grace of God. That's it. When He leaves you to yourself and lets Amalek attack you and your flesh has its way with you, you learn real fast you didn't make yourself to differ. God did. Number two, He does it so that we never become content with this world. Doesn't your flesh make you long for the day you'll be gone from this place? This is how He's weaning us from this world. He's making us not be content with this world because of the sins of our flesh and all the worldly, fleshly enemies we face. And He does it thirdly so that we never forget that our only acceptance with God is the blood and righteousness of Christ. He's our acceptance. It's through His blood, it's in His righteousness that we're accepted. And He never lets us forget that. It's not because of anything in us. It's Him. It's Christ. And He does it so that we always fear and worship Him. Go over to Isaiah 59. This makes us worship Him and fear Him always. Look at Isaiah 59 and look at verse 16. I'm sorry, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, this is how we're made to fear, right here. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know what that word standard is? An ensign, a banner. The Lord will lift up a banner against our enemy. That's what we've seen happen. Moses went up and exalted Christ, the rod of God, our banner. And Christ defeated Amalek. And He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord's going to lift up a standard against him. Christ makes us lift up Christ against the enemy. And it says, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. Christ comes. He comes to us. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, that is the elect he calls through us, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. God says, I'm going to keep doing this work. I'm not ever going to let this word fail. That's in you. I'm not going to let this inward man fail. And so look at Psalm 20, verse 5. Every time that He fulfills our petitions and He strengthens us and He saves us from ourselves, this is what we're brought to do right here. Psalm 20, verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. That's what He does. He fulfilled all our prayer. We're going to set up our banner. We're going to set up Christ. Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. He brings us to praise Him. And He don't ever let us stop praising Him. And it's through Christ our banner raised up. Now look at this. One last thing back in our text. Christ promises to continue doing this. And one day He's going to destroy this flesh. He's going to destroy Satan, death, and hell completely. Look at this. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. That's why we have this word right now. Moses obeyed God. He wrote it down. And He said, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. And that's why we're preaching it today. We're rehearsing it right now, preaching it. Because, this is how He does it. He says, because I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. This is how He's doing it. Through us rehearsing His mighty works and His mighty power, exalting Christ the banner. I'm going to put Him out utterly from among heaven. So Moses built an altar and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. This flesh, this sinful flesh, and all our fleshly enemies, and the devil, and every fleshly enemy in this world, is God's sworn enemy. He couldn't swear by any greater than Himself. And He's sworn to you and me that He's going to utterly defeat Amalek out of this world. When He gets finished, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there won't be any sign of sin whatsoever. it won't even be in our remembrance that it ever existed anymore. And in that day, He's going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Brethren, stay under the preaching of the gospel. Be under it constantly, that Christ might be constantly exalted in our hearts. Be constantly at the throne, throne of grace before God our Father, asking God to grant you your petitions for Christ's sake. Exalting Christ before the Father because of His blood and His righteousness. Ask Him to keep you. And be always holding up the hands of your weak brethren, pointing them to Christ, turning them to Christ, because this is how Aaron and Hur, Christ our High Priest and the Holy Spirit of Christ enter in, and how they strengthen us, brethren, and set us on Christ the rock and keep us looking to Him. And so it is that we glory in Him and praise Him, and we won't stop. If we're His, we won't stop. Because that's what He said there. I won't let them stop. And one day I'm going to bring them into that new heavens and new earth. That's the Lord our banner, Jehovah Nissi. Amen. All right, Brother Art.